This is the day 40 years ago when a small spaceship carrying Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin lifted off from the surface of the moon and began a long journey back to Earth. The astronauts left behind a plaque to commemorate their brief visit. The plaque featured a picture of the Earth.
Underneath it says, "Dear men from the planet Earth, first set foot upon the moon, July 1969, AP."
That was the voice of Neil Armstrong. Back in 1969, most people understood why the United States had sent astronauts on that journey. Now, NASA wants to return to the moon, and the reasons for going this time are more complicated. NPR's Nell Greenfield Boyce reports.
In spring of 1961, the Soviet Union put Yuri Gagarin in orbit around the Earth. He was the first human in space. America sent Alan Shepard up a few weeks later. His flight was just up and back, not in orbit. And soon after, on May 25th, 1961, President John F. Kennedy spoke before a special joint session of Congress.
"I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal, before this decade is out, of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth."
This came in a speech full of references to dangers like nuclear weapons. The Soviet Union was the threat, and its space achievements were troubling.
"The dramatic achievements in space which occurred in recent weeks should have made clear to us all, as did the Sputnik in 1957, the impact of this adventure on the minds of men everywhere who are attempting to make a determination of which road they should take."
We really went to the moon because of the geopolitical rivalry between the United States and the Soviet Union, a competition on a broad front between two superpowers over control of the world, essentially.
Roger Lanius is a space historian at the National Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C.
The United States wanted to demonstrate to everyone in the world, including the Soviet Union, that we were second to none when it came to science and technology.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running.
And the whole world was watching as Neil Armstrong took those first steps.
"That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind."
These days, the world is different. Many people hardly notice that astronauts now live in space 24/7. Russians, Americans, Europeans, Canadians, the Japanese. Men and women hang out together in a huge space station, just a couple hundred miles up. The space shuttle goes there, but the shuttle can't go to the moon. So, 5 years ago, President George Bush gave a speech saying NASA should design new rockets and capsules to return to the moon by 2020. That's what the agency has been working towards. But in an era with no Cold War, when the U.S. is the unquestioned leader in space, some people wonder if this moon plan makes any sense.
I mean, that is a question that I hear quite frequently. They say, "Hey, we've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Why are we looking at that?"
John Olson works at NASA headquarters in Washington, helping to direct the agency's exploration program.
"You know, we're not going back as a race. We're not going back for flags and footsteps. We're going back for really what is the beginning of a journey."
He says this time, NASA is making a sustained, more affordable effort to move to the moon and beyond, onto Mars. But why do that?
"Well, you know, we like to categorize that into like six themes, six big thrusts. And the first is about human civilization. It's about our innate desire and yearning to explore the unknown and to expand. It could be also about species preservation as part
of..." He lists lots of reasons: technology development, scientific exploration, economic expansion, international cooperation, engaging the public.
"But it's also about believing in something bigger and committing to the concept that, much like the going to the moon the first time, we learned that nothing is impossible if you focus your resources and your time and talent on that endeavor."
Do you worry that that's sort of so many different goals that the public is not really going to be able to like latch onto them? Because for the first moonshot, it was pretty clear. It was like, beat the Russians, first on the moon.
"You know, six primary themes. Yes, it's not one or it's not two, but you know, I think each person is somewhat individual."
So he says different people might find a moonshot compelling for different reasons. Jim Bell is a scientist who's been involved in many robotic space missions. He's also the president of the Planetary Society, a group of space enthusiasts. It recently put out a report saying, hey, if you're going to build new rockets, remember that there are other places astronauts could go besides the moon, like near-Earth asteroids, space rocks we should know about, in case one of them ever takes aim at our planet.
Asteroids may be easier to get to than the moon, some, and they're a new destination. You know, let's not discount the newness angle in helping to inspire and motivate space exploration.
He says his group isn't anti-moon. They just wonder if it should loom so large in NASA's plans.
I think that there would be a time in a long-term, long-focused, sustainable program when it makes sense to go to the moon. I'm not sure that 2020 is that time. It's awfully soon.
That timetable might change. President Obama's administration has put together a panel of outside experts to reassess all human spaceflight plans. It's chaired by Norm Augustine. At a press conference, he said they'd look at, quote, the full spectrum of possible destinations. He acknowledged that the Cold War is over, and we're in a period of great financial distress.
But people are people, and I can remember how excited people were at when Neil and Buzz walked on the moon and Mike circled the moon, what a shot it gave this nation at a time it really needed it.
His panel will lay out options by the end of the summer. After that, President Obama and Congress will have to decide where NASA's astronauts should go next. Nell Greenfield Boyce, NPR News.
To find restored footage of Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin planting the flag on the moon and to see more recent photos of space tourism, visit NPR.org.
What better way to celebrate the moon landing than with a giant moon pie? Yesterday at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, NASA served up a 55-pound version of the chocolatey marshmallow treat. The monster moon pie was 40 inches in diameter to commemorate the 40th anniversary of the first moon walk. It contained 6 pounds of chocolate, 14 pounds of marshmallows, and a whole bunch of graham crackers. But there were no giant bites for man or mankind. Instead, the colossal concoction was sliced into small pieces and given away to tourists at Cape Canaveral.